Okay.
So on the line, we have Carol Wells, who's from the United States. She is the director of the Center for the Study of Political Graphics, which is based in California. So hello, Carol.
Good morning.
Good morning. I guess probably the first question to ask is what exactly is, for all the Australian listeners, because you're in Australia, what is the city of the for the study of political graphics, and, you know, what do you do there sort of as your role as a director?
Well, I'm also the founder, and it started out as 28 years ago as a resource for grassroots activists to be able to teach, educate, and inspire people about different political struggles. So it started out, grew out of the solidarity work to stop Reagan's war against Central Americans, especially Nicaragua and El Salvador, and it grew into an international archive now with more than 85,000 posters from all over the world. So we both, our people come to study, to activists and artists and curators come to see what we're doing, academics come to study issues, because posters tell the other side of the story. We can't just rely on mainstream and corporate press to tell and give an accurate view of what's happening at any time in the present or the past. So the posters really talk about the struggles that are happening. And then we do traveling exhibitions about different themes. Our most recent one, and it's online, actually. We have one on climate change, which is online on our website, which is politicalgraphics.org. We have one on immigration, which is obviously very timely for what you're doing. We have an exhibit on immigration, because that's obviously a timely issue throughout the world. That's the kind of thing we do. We do many of those theme-based exhibitions, often very controversial themes.
So the posters that you have on display, are they the ones that were printed in America, or do you collect posters that were actually printed and displayed in Nicaragua, for example?
Oh, yes. 40% of the collection are from outside of the United States. We have posters from Chile under Allende. We have posters. In fact, after the Sandinistas were voted out of office in, '89 or '90, the subsequent government basically destroyed the murals and the posters, and they had to come back and borrow posters from us so they could tell their own story.
So it's all of more modern history rather than older, like the Russian. You don't have the Russian Revolution stuff, do you?
Oh, yes, we do. Our collection goes back to the 19th century.
Okay.
But, Revolution, Chinese Revolution. We have World War One, World War II. But the bulk of the collection is 1960s to the present. We actually have the largest collection, even though we're independent and tiny, and we have a minuscule budget compared to most libraries. We have the largest collection of post-World War II posters in the United States.
Yeah,
the reason is that the activists give us their stuff because they've been collecting it and they see what we do with it, and so they donate it to them.
Yeah, I guess a question is, sort of the purpose of, archiving and this, is it sort of like, to document the art or to send, political messages? Is there kind of like a political kind of message of, archiving all this different political art?
Well, the story of our struggle, the story of progressive movements, doesn't get told often.
Hmm.
And there's certain, the records of it are few and far between. I'll tell you something I just found a month ago that was, I've been looking for years, I've been looking for an artifact about opposition in the United States to the Korean War.
Hmm.
And I've heard from old activists, oh yes, there was opposition to the Korean War, but I've never seen anything. And I was collecting posters in Chicago in July, and I came across an 8 by 8.5 by 11, just a piece of paper, almost got thrown out, that was mobilizing for opposition to the Korean War.
And I guess the next kind of question is, what do you sort of think about, because you would have a lot of expertise in this, sort of like, the role that, art plays in, political and struggles?
There's never been a viable movement for social change without the arts as central to that struggle. Mm. You mentioned the Russian Revolution. The posters are central to that, along with the organizing.
Mm.
You know, the Chinese Revolution, the posters, the Central American Revolution, the posters. I mean, it's not just posters, it's the art, you know, theater, poetry, music, the South African anti-apartheid music,
yes.
The music.
And
the Vietnam War, I mean, the posters and the music and the theater and the poetry. So the arts have been central to every movement for social change. The civil rights movement in the United States didn't use many. They had some posters, not a lot. But the music, you know, we cannot imagine the civil rights movement without the songs, "We Shall Overcome," "We Shall Not Move." They were what really brought people together and inspired them. Mm. And other posters or other art forms conveyed what the struggle. People who hadn't necessarily experienced the kinds of, in South Africa, for example, could learn from it, from the books and the literature and the poetry. So art is absolutely central, and it's the most powerful weapon we have. I mean, a gun can change your behavior, but it can't change your heart or your mind. And that's what the arts can do.
And I also, from my limited experience and observation, I find that at the time where there's a lot of activity, tumultuous activity, whether it's revolution or whether it's protest, art seems to flourish profusely because people want to express themselves, and art seems to be, in one form or the other, the best way they can express those feelings, the frustrations at that point of time, and certainly describes the state of mind of people during that period, doesn't it?
Absolutely. You hit it on the head.
And of recent times, have you found any such expressions in the USA, for example, with the political situation as it is in the US now?
Well, there's a proliferation of posters, inspired by and coming out of the Black Lives Matter movement. You know, there's so many of these young people of color who've been murdered by the police. Are coming out in posters to remind people, to keep it in front of people's attention.
I have a question. Yeah, I have an interesting question, actually. Particularly, I'd like to ask you sort of what you think of... I noticed we have the internet now, and one of the sort of big sort of things is in political kind of expression is internet memes, and I kind of sort of want to hear kind of your perspective on that, and is that, you know... How is it shifting kind of the dynamics of sort of art and politics?
Well, the internet is actually, I think, a great deal in part responsible for a revival of the paper poster, of the old school paper poster. Because one of the problems that we always had, I mean, the artist could design it, they could get it produced either by offset or silkscreen or woodcut. I mean, there's certainly many, many means of varying levels of expense that you can reproduce them. The biggest problem people always had was dissemination. And that was one of the reasons we have so many posters, old posters, is sometimes they just never got distributed. And what the internet allows is an image to literally go around the world. And what many artists are doing, they're creating downloadable, high-resolution images. So, like the Occupy movement in the United States had an entire website with images that people could download. They were high res. The immigration rights movement, because I think the website was also Arizona, had a lot of immigrant rights images. I think it still does. I mean, because it's obviously an ongoing struggle in the United States as well. And people can download them and print them. And what it says on these websites. Is these posters are free to you to use as long as you are using them for non-commercial purposes and using them for the purpose of the point of the poster. So someone can't alter it. Someone can't use it for sale. And they say, you know, if you oppose this, if you use it in other means, we will go after you. But other than that, it's free to use. So it's an amazing way for people to download exactly what they want for free.
Actually, what you kind of say there, I'm hopefully you're familiar with this Marxist thinker, Walter Benjamin, but I did a course on Walter Benjamin, and he kind of talked a lot about, you know, how, how art is sort of like, you know, the sort of advent of the sort of camera, made sort of art more sort of accessible to, like, you know, the working class, because previously, you know, art was really sort of the domain of sort of the rich. Do you think this sort of advent of, you know, these technologies actually makes, you know, access to art more equal, like, you know, allows more working class people to access and reproduce art?
Yes, I mean the political poster is probably the most democratic art form, visual art form, because it is inexpensive, it's often free, and people can understand it. I mean, a good poster has to be understood.
Hmm.
It can't be understood, then it's really not functioning as a protest poster. So it's a very democratic art form.
And I guess the sort of next question I sort of want to ask is, I'm a bit of an a sort of academic nerd. This is another sort of academic-y kind of question, but I kind of want to sort of hear you sort of comment, because I've sort of noticed sort of this trend of this sort of dominance of sort of postmodern thought, and I kind of like, you know, basically sort of you know, basically puts this sort of primacy of sort of subjectivity sort of away from, you know, during the sort of during the sort of Russian Revolution, there was this sort of emphasis, you know, that art could have a, like, you know, a political kind of emancipatory kind of purpose that can be liberating, whereas, you know, postmodernism seems to appear to basically promote this idea that everything's sort of subjective and puts no sort of central kind of objective sort of platform for emancipation. And I kind of wanted to hear what your comments on that were.
Well, I'll just give you some experience I've had in the classroom, because I speak at a lot of universities, is that I think what you're describing, the postmodern perspective that you're describing, has really resulted in a lot of paralysis. And people just don't take a position, or they feel, or cynicism. Cynicism is a killer. Cynicism is probably one of the biggest causes of paralysis. That is the sense of doesn't make any difference anyway. And of course, I've spent my entire adult life since I was in, you know, ninth grade, you know, fighting for justice, you know, working on the civil rights movement and protesting the Vietnam War. So that kind of attitude, I just obviously. And the poster makers, people ask me all the time, how can you work on all these things that are showing dead children and torture? And I said, because poster makers are fundamentally optimistic. They believe people can change.
Hmm.
They believe that things can change. And they wouldn't be making these posters unless they did believe that things could be different. And so there's a fundamental optimism of people who are doing activism. And so I think that's really, for us to survive as a planet, you know, because climate change is probably it's clearly a life and death issue. For us to survive as a planet, people can't sit around and do nothing.
It's very encouraging to listen to you. We just interviewed a young woman who is occupying an arts faculty room in Sydney University, where art is being de-emphasized, and that similar things have happened in the La Trobe University here in Victoria, or in Melbourne rather. So it's inspiring to listen to you the way you present it, and I look forward to listening to you tonight at in the city, where there's a little gathering organized for you to present your views.
Yes, at 6:30 at the you probably have at the Resistance Center.
Yeah, the
That's
Resistance
right.
Center.
Yeah, at 6:30. Thank you very much for being available this morning, and look forward to hearing you in person later on today.
Yep.
Look forward to speaking with you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.